Well, I want to welcome you to our Christmas service. We don't have a Christmas Eve service or a Christmas Day service. This is our Christmas service, and it's also our fourth Sunday of Advent. So we're going to be doing kind of a double duty with the candles today. But I want to welcome you. I'm glad you're here. If you're from the community, I invite you to come and make this your home church every Sunday. I hope that pray that this will be a special service that will draw you closer to Jesus, our King. Next week, I want you to know that there will be a service. We're going to celebrate God's faithfulness in 2019, and there'll be an opportunity for you to share. And if you'd like to share something, I'd like you to kind of give a text or an email to Pastor Matt, wherever he is. He'll be taking some pictures today. There he is back there. And talk to him right after the service and let him know that you'd like to share something next week, okay? Now, today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming. And we both celebrate the first coming of Jesus as a baby, and we look forward to Jesus' return as our coming King. And purple is the color of royalty and penitence, and it reminds us to get our life right with God before he comes. And the focus of our last Sunday of Advent is love. And we're going to look at the best known scripture, maybe in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And coming to light the Advent candles are James Longstreet and Belinda Ho and Caden and Atlin. All right. So we kind of choose a different family every Sunday to kind of start our service, and I like to pick the one with the youngest baby for our Christmas service, and that'd be you guys. So welcome. Here you go. I don't know who's going to talk, but there. You're live.
I'll just, yeah.
So thanks for coming today. You guys moved this past year, right? What community are you living in now?
We're in Valley Ridge.
Valley Ridge, across from Canada Olympic Park. That's the drive they make when they come here. We thank you for making that drive. That's awesome. And so what motivated the drive or the move this year?
The move, him.
Yeah. Okay, you need a bigger house because you got a bigger family.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that's awesome. So how do you guys plan to celebrate Christmas? Are you going to be in Calgary? Are you going to go away?
Well, after today, probably by around, we're heading up to Edmonton today. So we'll be in Edmonton until probably Boxing Day, unless things go horribly bad with sleep in the next couple nights and everyone not sleeping in the house. But driving up to Edmonton.
Driving up to
this.
Edmonton, yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. Do you guys have any traditions as a family? You know, when you start a family, you kind of have to make your own traditions. You know, you pull from both sides, you create something new. Do you have anything that you guys have?
It's been the last couple of years just going to Edmonton and doing Christmas Day with Belinda's family in Edmonton and exchanging gifts. And
okay.
We usually do like a photo session.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. Yeah, a unique photo session.
And
yeah,
Caden,
right.
Are you excited about Christmas? Yeah. All right. So we'll kind of get ahead on next week. What's been the biggest struggle that you guys have been through in 2019?
There's been a couple just with leading up to, selling the townhouse and moving, and then him being born 6 weeks early. And
He was a preemie,
He was a preemie, so that was a little challenging. And then,
we were also trying to renovate our house at the same time.
Trying to do house renovations.
So that we would have it ready before Atlin came, and he came really early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the biggest struggle has been on November 14th. We just took him to just a standard follow-up pediatrician appointment, and we found out some news about his right eye. So he's just about completely at this time blind in his right eye. So it's been a lot of time with us in the hospitals in the last month or so, and we've been so blessed to have so many of you all praying, and so many people around the world also just praying for Atlin, and we're just trusting God that he will be healed in his timing. And that's been certainly a struggle.
Okay. Have there been any positives in 2019 that you'd like to thank God for?
2019, because it's been such a tough year for us, and I guess James didn't also mention that, on top of all this and being laid off, and it's just been a lot. And in 2019, some things just seem to have fallen in place for us. we didn't think we'd sell the townhouse in this market, and it just seemed like the timing was perfect, and it got sold right at the last minute when he was discharged. And then on top of that, the reason why he came early was because I had placenta abruption. So if people who don't understand what that means is that my placenta was ripping off my uterus. And we were really lucky he was even here, because that was something that pretty much if it ripped off, he only had 3 minutes to live. And then it would be something devastating for me as well. I guess for the positive was that we were obviously... God was looking over us, that I went into labor and everything went fine and he delivered fine. He's healthy and I'm healthy. But then on November 14th, when we had that pediatrician appointment, and you know, you're thinking that everything is fine, and then the next day we found ourselves in an emergency because they were trying to rule out cancer in his eye, and it's something a mom never wants to hear. We're still not through this. He probably has some sort of other congenital eye disease, and we're struggling to get through this. And for me, it was really tough. As a mom, you always think that you want to give your son everything in the world, and it's tough to start off with something like this right in the beginning. For me, the nightmare started. For me, it was bad. It was more so the fact that you keep questioning why did this happen to us, and did I do something wrong? Did I not eat well, or should I not have flown to Houston so many times? And it was gotten to the point where it was unbearable for me. I was I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I was nauseous all the time. And on December 11th, I made the choice to receive Christ in my life, and it's been a huge change. I was able to sleep that night for the first time, and I felt peace in my heart. But I mean, by all means, it's still a struggle.
All right. Well, you've given us the best Christmas present ever. Would you light the Advent candles? And let me just say, we welcome you to the family of Christ. We love you guys. Let me just lead us in prayer as they go to light the candles. God, thank you for loving us. You've created us, redeemed us, and you want to have a relationship with us. We love you. Fill us anew with your love this Christmas season. Turn your attention to the screen.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Let's stand and worship our Lord.
A child is born, a son is given, a son. the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah. Oh, to see him high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You are high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. 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 Holy, holy.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. We light the Christ candle as a sign that the King is born.
We light the Christ candle as a sign that God is with us, Emmanuel.
We light the Christ candle as a sign that the light of Christ dispels our darkness.
We light the Christ candle as a sign of God's amazing love for us.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God
in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Come to Bethlehem and see Christ, whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
When it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Can I call the ushers forward, please? Gracious Lord, we rejoice with the shepherds over the good news of Jesus' birth. We join in the praises of the angelic choir singing, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors. We bow low in worship with the wise men before the King of heaven comes to earth. God of wonders, you've blessed us with the greatest gift ever given, your only begotten Son, light of the true light, God of the true God. We could never outgive you. Receive now these financial gifts as expressions of our profound gratitude and great joy over your precious gift to us. May our songs of praise never fade, and may we treasure this gift in our hearts always and forever. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our King.
No more. there to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your love, it's only by your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
Sing it one more time.
I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may I bring an offering to you.
God, thank you for sending Jesus to our world to fulfill prophecy, to be with us, to change history, to give us peace with you, your peace and peace with others, and to give us joy and fullness of life. Thank you for your indescribable gift. Thank you for loving us in spite of our sin and selfishness. Thank you for your love. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn your attention to the screen once more and be seated.
Why?
Why?
Why did Jesus come to earth?
Why forsake the majesty and fellowship of heaven?
Exchanging a palace for a stable.
Immortal comforts for a feeding trough.
And robes of glory for the feeble body of an infant.
An unparalleled irony, this supreme, unrivaled nobility experiencing absolute and total humility.
Our sovereign God, Emmanuel, as a baby.
He didn't come to heap shame upon sinners, or to judge and cast out the impious, but to break bread with those called unrighteous.
He didn't come to illuminate every mystery of the cosmos or to enlighten the intellectual, but to fulfill the testimony of prophets clothed in rags.
He didn't come to elevate a single nation or to advocate a particular political affiliation. He came because he saw you, broken, in need of salvation.
He saw you lost and abandoned, crying out, surrounded by deaf ears, fighting through the tears, but beaten down by the torments of this world.
And unable to bear your distress, he renounced his eternal throne,
walked the earth,
bore the stripes,
accepted the nails,
and gave up his last breath,
so that you could receive the breath of life.
Holy, infinite God,
beheld your pain,
perceived your heart,
and determined that your soul was worth dying for.
From the manger to the cross to the empty tomb,
it is all a story of profound love, of a Savior who rescued his children from darkness,
of a blameless king who declared that no sacrifice was too great for the sake of his beloved creation.
Why did Jesus come to earth?
He came for you.
All fall, we studied themes from the book, What on Earth Am I Here For? And if you didn't get anything else in those series of messages, I hope that you understand and believe with all your heart that you matter to God. Your problems and your pain and your potential matters to God. God made each of you with a purpose. And for the last 3 weeks of Advent, leading up to Christmas, I hope you've better understood the purpose of Christmas. Christmas is a birthday party for Jesus, a celebration of an invasion. God invaded the earth. It was the greatest invasion in history, and nothing's been the same since. And the birth of Jesus divided history into before Christ and Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're over 2,000 years since God sent his Son into the world. And theologians call it the incarnation. God became flesh. Jesus went from commanding angels to sleeping in the straw. He swapped a spotless castle for a grimy stable. God became one of us, a human being. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. And how did Jesus Christ come to earth? The same way all of us did, through a birth canal. He could hold the universe in his palm, but gave it up to float in the womb of a young girl. And God didn't come into the world to scare you or condemn you, but to save you. And nobody's afraid of a baby. As Ann Voskamp says, you always get your Christmas miracle. You get God with you. Christ is all your good, and he is all yours, and this is always all your miracle. No matter the barrenness you feel, you can always have as much of Jesus as you want. Christmas is the story of God's relentless love for us. We don't just celebrate what God did, his incarnation. We rejoice at why he came. Love. Love puts the needs of the beloved before itself. Your place in heaven was more important to Jesus than his place in heaven, so he gave up his so you could have yours. God's love was extravagant. I have three girls that I love very much. They're my children. Now, if I found out that there was some people on the planet Mars that needed help, I would be willing to send money to kind of raise money for a spaceship to go help people on Mars. But I don't think I'd want to send one of my girls to help them, knowing that they'd experience deprivation on a barren planet. But you see, that's why the incarnation of Jesus Christ is such a powerful gift. It's a demonstration of the love of God the Father for every human being. He sent his only Son. And God became one of us so that we could understand what he's really like. God has given us as human beings the capacity to know him in ways that animals cannot. He created us in his image, which includes the ability to enjoy a personal relationship with him. And then he took the initiative to send Jesus so we could understand his love and our need for him. I mean, we do know a bit about God simply by observing creation. For instance, by looking at nature, we know that our creator loves variety. He created an incredibly diverse universe. Think of the limitless array of plants and animals, rock formations, snowflakes, and people. No two human beings, even twins, are exactly alike. Every one of us is an original. After you were born, God broke the mold. And by surveying natural phenomena, we also know that God is powerful and he's organized and he loves beauty. And he must enjoy watching us enjoy what he's created. Otherwise, why would he give us so many different ways to enjoy things? He gave us taste buds that filled the world with incredible flavors like chocolate and cinnamon and all those other spices, the stuff that you're eating this Christmas. And you go, well, thank you, God, that you gave me some taste buds. He gave us eyes to perceive color and then filled the world with a rainbow of shades. And he gave us ears sensitive ears, and then filled the world with rhythms and music, and your capacity for enjoyment is evidence of God's love for you. See, God could have made the world tasteless and colorless and silent, but he didn't. The Bible says God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He didn't have to, but he did it because he loves us. And yet, until Jesus arrived, our understanding of God's love was probably still limited. God could have chosen 1,000 ways to communicate with us, but since he designed us, he knew that the best way to communicate with us would be face to face. If God had wanted to communicate to birds, he would have become a bird. If he wanted to communicate to cows, he would have become a cow. But because he wanted to communicate to human beings, he became one of us. He didn't send an angel or a prophet or a politician or an ambassador. He came himself. And if you really want people to know how much you love them, you can't send a representative to communicate it. You've got to say it personally. And that's what God did at Christmas. And the most famous verse in the Bible that we started our service with, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And in that one verse, the whole gospel is preached. God loves humanity. We've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. We're destined for eternal punishment, but eternal life awaits all who believe in God's son, Jesus. The entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. The greatest need of every human being is to be loved and to love someone. And that's why God came, to love us and enable us to love others. God loves you so much, he came to earth as a human so you could get to know him and learn to trust him and love him back. And the Bible tells us that God is love. It doesn't say God has love. It says God is love. Love is the essence of God's character. It's his very nature. And the reason that everything in the universe exists is because God wanted to love it. God didn't create human beings because he needs us. He created us because he loves us. And he wants a relationship with us. The Lord is good to all, the Bible says. He has compassion on all he has made. God's got a purpose for every star and every planet, every animal, every cell, and most of all, every human being. And you were created as an object of God's love. He made you in order to love you. His love is the reason you're alive and you're still breathing. And he loves you on your good days, and he loves you on your bad days. He loves you regardless of your performance, your moods, your actions, your thoughts. His love for you is unchanging. And everything else will change in your lifetime. But God's love for you is constant and it's steady, it's continuous, and there's nothing you can do that would make God stop loving you. Because God's love for you is based on his character, not on your conduct. It's based on who he is, not on what you've done. The Bible says, Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. But I pray, the Apostle Paul says, that you will be able to know that love. It's greater than you can know, but I pray that you'll know a part of it, a sum of it, maybe close to all of it. During a conference on comparative religions, experts from around the world debated what, if any, belief was unique to the Christian faith. And they began eliminating possibilities. Well, incarnation. No, other religions have different versions of God appearing in human form. Resurrection. No, other religions have accounts of return from the dead. And the debate went on for some time until C.S. Lewis wandered into the room. And he says, what's the rumpus about? And when he heard what they were discussing Christianity's unique contribution among world religions. Lewis responded, oh, that's easy. Grace. And after some discussion, the conferees had to agree. The notion of God's love coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, seems to go against every instinct of humanity. The Buddhist Eightfold Path, the Hindu doctrine of karma, the Jewish covenant, the Muslim code of law, each of these offers a way to earn God's approval. If you're good enough, if you do these things, you can be approved and accepted by God. Only Christianity says, dares to make God's love unconditional. And unconditional love for the entire world reminds us that God wants everyone to believe in Jesus and receive salvation. Jesus shed his blood for all. And Romans 5:8 is one of the most shocking verses, and that's why it's one of my probably favorite verses in the whole Bible. But God demonstrated his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't love good people. He loves all people. And there's nothing you can do that will make God love you more, and there's nothing you can ever do that will make God love you less. His love is unconditional and everlasting. And if you don't feel genuinely loved by God, it'll be very difficult for you to love others. Like, we all know that we should, right, love others. But it's hard to love people who are hurtful. And sometimes unloved people are often unloving people. And we can try harder. Oh, I gotta love them. I should really love this person more, but I don't really like them. And we try and we try and we try. Maybe we need to take a step back, and maybe the first step of love isn't toward others, but it's toward God. And perhaps the secret to loving others is receiving God's love. In John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Like, how could you ever describe a rainbow if you've never seen one? How could you advertise the taste of a fruit you've never tasted? We can't give a gift of love if we haven't received it ourselves. Author Ann Gordon tells the story of Father Maximilian Kolbe, a Catholic priest who was a prisoner at Auschwitz in August 1941. A prisoner escaped from the camp, and in reprisal, the Nazis ordered that 10 prisoners die by starvation. And Father Kolbe offered to take the place of one of the condemned men. And they kept Kolbe in a starvation bunker for 2 weeks and then put him to death by lethal injection on August 14th, 1941. 30 years later, a survivor of the camp described the effect of Father Kolbe's action. This is a quote. It was an enormous shock to the whole camp. We became aware that someone among us in this spiritual dark night of the soul was raising the standard of love on high. Someone unknown, like everyone else, tortured and bereft of name and social standing, went to a horrible death for the sake of someone not even related to him. Therefore, it is not true, we cried, that humanity is cast down and trampled in the mud, overcome by oppressors, and overwhelmed by hopelessness. Through Kolbe's act of love, thousands of prisoners were convinced the true world continued to exist and that our torturers would not be able to destroy it. To say that Father Kolbe died for us or for that person's family is too great a simplification. His death was the salvation of thousands. We were stunned by his act of selfless love, which became for us a mighty explosion of light in the dark camp. Father Kolbe gave an incredible gift to his fellow prisoners, the gift of love. And 2,000 years ago, someone else gave an incredible gift of love. God himself. God came to earth for a reason, because he loved us, but he also came for a purpose, and that is in order that we might rise to heaven. The Word became flesh that we might become the children of God. The King of heaven became a baby that we might become children of the King. Or as Henry Nouwen describes it, the eternal Son became a child, so that I might become a child again and so re-enter with him into the kingdom of the Father. This is God's purpose for his love. J.B. Phillips, the guy who wrote the Living Bible, imagined a story of two angels on a tour of the universe. And they fly from galaxy to galaxy until they enter ours, the Milky Way. And as the sun and its orbiting planets come into view, the senior angel calls it to attention to a somewhat smaller member of the solar system. He said, I want you to watch that little ball particularly, said the senior angel, pointing with his finger towards the Earth. Well, it looks rather small and dirty to me, said the junior angel. What's so special about that one? His superior explained that the unimpressive ball was the renowned visited planet. The lesser angel was surprised. Do you mean that our great and glorious prince went down in person to that fifth-rate little ball? Do you mean to tell me that he stooped so low as to become one of those creeping, crawling creatures of that floating ball? I do. And I don't think he'd like you to call them creeping, crawling creatures in that tone of voice. For strange as it may seem to us, he loves them. He went down to visit them, to lift them up, to become like him. The Son of God became the son of a woman that we might become sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. In fact, John 1 John 3, 1 and 2 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. And when Jesus appears, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. That's our future, folks. That's the great and glorious future of all who have believed on Jesus Christ. Do you know why the tradition of gift giving began at Christmas? Because God gave the first and greatest gift, that first Christmas, the gift of his son. Scripture says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. How do you describe the purpose of Christmas? I've been trying for 4 weeks and I still always feel like it just doesn't quite communicate the reason why God came. And it's astounding that so many people celebrate Christmas every year without ever having opened their greatest and most expensive Christmas gift. Jesus Christ is God's Christmas gift to you. In Jesus, your past is forgiven. You get a purpose for living. You get a home in heaven. Why wouldn't you want to open up the best gift of all this Christmas? All those gifts are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Like if you get a gift this Christmas, there's two things you have to do. The first thing is you have to open it, right? Can you imagine being given a gift this Christmas and never unwrap it, right? If you gave me a gift at Christmas and a year later I still hadn't unwrapped it, you'd think I was a little bit crazy. Why haven't you unwrapped it? Oh, I just love the wrapping paper. It's so beautiful. I'm sure I'm going to love it, whatever it is. I'm going to get to it one of these days and you're going to think like, what? What are you doing to my gift? Many of us, you know, we come a little closer to God at Christmas, by Christmas, and you've celebrated Christmas for as many years as you're alive, and you know all the stories and the songs, and you've heard what it's all about, but you've never unwrapped the gift. What gives? You're never going to be offered a greater gift than Jesus. God's Christmas gift has three qualities that make it unique. First, it's the most expensive gift you'll ever receive. It's priceless. Jesus sacrificed the riches of heaven and then paid for our sin with his life. Second, it's the only gift you'll ever receive that will last forever. You know, some of the toys that you get this Christmas, they'll be broke in about a week. And the food that you get this Christmas, that'll be gone in a day. At least in my house, that'll be gone in a day, right? But the gift of eternal life lasts forever. And finally, it's an extremely practical gift. The gift of Christmas is a gift that you can use every day for the rest of your life. Christ didn't just come to be with you and for you. He came to live in you. To experience God's love for ourselves, we have to be reborn. There's nothing you could do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do that will make God love you less. But to experience his love, we need to invite Jesus into our lives and say, God, you're the king and I'm not. And forgive my sin and come into my life. Make me like you. Because that's the starting point. Every great journey has to have a starting point. A day when you say, I was created to have a relationship with God. And today can be that day. And you've got to experience God's love before you can give it away to others. So what are you waiting for, friends? Christmas? Accept the love that came in the form of a newborn baby. God has come to us. Accept the forgiveness and the grace that was bought for you through the loving arms of Christ when he was nailed to the cross, right? The love that began in the manger, it ended in the cross. And when Jesus was on the cross, he opened up his arms like this and they nailed his hands to that cross and he said, this is how much I love you. And accept his love won for you through the victory of the resurrection. You know, I was putting the letters into the sign outside of our church this week and I had a bit of space at the bottom and I was going to put, Christ has come. And that's true, right? Christ has come. But the good news of the gospel, it's not just a historical fact. It's an invitation to open your heart to God today. So instead, I decided to put the words, Christ is here. Christ is here. He's present with us. And the message of Jesus' resurrection, his exaltation, pouring out his Holy Spirit, is more than Christ has come. The message is, Christ is here. So let Jesus' love fill you and change you forever. Live as one who's loved. Your life can start today, not 30 years or 70 years from now when you die. You can personalize John 3:16 today. You can say, for God so loved Perry, for God so loved James, for God so loved Anne, for God so loved you that he gave his one and only son. And because I believe in him, I'll have eternal life. Friends, there's two things that you need to do when you get a gift. You need to open it. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you. Right? And the second is, say, thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your son into the world for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your humble sacrifice. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with me forever. Friends, I want to encourage you to open his gift and say thank you to God this Christmas. Well, we're going to, I want to invite the worship team to come up at this time. We're going to light candles. Once the worship team is kind of in place, I want to invite, we're going to turn down the lights. And I'm going to light the Christmas candle. We light candles at Christmas for two reasons. One is we believe Jesus is the light of the world. He's the truth, the way, and the life. The way to a relationship with God. Christmas is all about Jesus. But there's a second reason we do a candle lighting ceremony at Christmas. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ within us is the light that shines for all to see. So we're going to continue to worship in song. I'm going to light my candle from the Christ candle. And it represents that moment when over 50 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus and started following him. And then I'm going to share that light with you. Now, if your candle is lit, I want you to hold it vertically, okay? Here's a little teaching. I'm going to do a little teaching. Because if your candle is lit and you do this, wax will fall on all over your nice blouse and the carpet and the chairs and everything. So if your candle is lit, you keep it like this. And if you're lighting the candle, you can do this, okay? Do you get that? If your candle is lit, you hold it this way. And the other person comes and receives the light from you. So I'm going to light my candle, and then I'm going to share it with the people in the front row. And you turn and you share it with people behind you. And then we're going to sing these two songs, and after we've sung them, then you can use that wet cotton ball, and before we go, we'll just put it out. And that will reduce the smoke, and it will reduce all the blown wax all over everybody else, okay? So if you'll just follow those two procedures, okay. Yes, and I'd invite you to stand at this time, and we'll turn out the lights.
Thank you.
Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Let's put out our candles here, but never put it out in your heart. Would you turn, as we turn the lights on, would you pass the peace of blessing to each other as you leave the service today? Take the candles and just deposit them in the foyer as you're going. I'm so glad that you've come. Don't forget, next week we have a service of God's faithfulness. Greet one another, Merry Christmas, and have a Happy New Year.